From sprains to fractures, get expert care quickly at the University of Kansas Health System. Walk-in orthopedic care is open weekdays, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturdays, 8 to 2, at I-435 and Null. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Friday, July 31st, 2020, last day of the month. Let's go. Let's get to the weekend. Lots of stuff to talk about there. You heard plenty of highlights and lowlights from last night. Got a lot of Chiefs sound as several players from the Kansas City Chiefs spoke to the media. We'll have that for you. We'll have some post-game from last night's victory by the Kansas City Royals. Another nice performance from rookie Brady Singer. That is now appointment television to watch Brady Singer whenever he's on the mound, and he did not disappoint last night. And the Royals get the victory, and the Royals have now won both of Brady Singer's starts, so that's very good. And last night, the Royals beat the Tigers 5-3. Now it's the home opener against the Chicago White Sox.
How about
and
those
we
Royals,
will see another rookie on the mound, as we found out yesterday, and this was surprising to many people, that rookie Chris Bubich will be on the mound tonight for the Kansas City Royals. Another one of the highly thought of prospects in the Royals minor league system. Another pitcher that they've thrown an early draft pick at in the last couple of years. But this gentleman has not pitched above A-ball. He was really, really good last year at A and then high A. He went 11-5 with a 2.23 ERA, 149 innings, only 103 hits, 185 strikeouts, 42 walks. Look, great numbers, but A-ball, never pitch above A-ball. I'm here for it, though. I like this. I'd rather watch this than another bullpen day like we did on Sunday, which was god-awful. And so, and also, I like the fact that if someone asks you, how do you say his last name? I say boob itch, like
right.
The boob itches, like my boob itches. Right, let me scratch it. There you go. That's better.
Does your boob itch?
Boob itch, not anymore. And so now you know how to say his name. And tonight you can watch how he pitches as Royals prospect Chris Bubich will be on the mound tonight. Hopefully the home opener crowd doesn't get to him, and he can settle in and eliminate all the distractions and just focus on. It's not funny. That ain't funny. Focus on the White Sox lineup, you know. Opening day is like playoff atmosphere.
This guy is a boob itch.
It will be like a playoff atmosphere, though, because that's what the playoffs are going to be like with nobody. So,
well,
it really will be a playoff-style atmosphere. So my point is valid.
That's fair.
Anyone excited besides me to watch Chris Bubich tonight in action?
Oh, heck yeah. Give me
hell
all the young
yes.
guys. I'll watch all the young guys. Bring them all up.
Give me all the boob, bitch. Give me it. I want they.
I wish. I don't care. I'm very aggressive. It's not my problem with service time or anything else. That's why I wish that Asa Lacy could have been possibly involved in this season. But that's fine. I'll take what I can get. I'll take Chris. I didn't think Chris Bubich would be the guy, next guy called up. But I'm here for it. Let's go. And that gives me another reason to watch the Royals and the White Sox tonight out at Kauffman Stadium.
Can I tell you something else I'm excited about?
What's that?
For the first time in a long, long time, when I came in here this morning, you know, we have like three TV monitors in the studio.
Right.
One of the TV monitors is on Charmed. You
oh,
know why
boy,
that excites me?
Like old times. Why is that?
Because that means that the NBA on TNT was on last night. because that's how it always is. When the NBA on TNT is on, the next morning we come in here and Charmed on TNT is on one of the TVs.
Right. Sometimes the playoff baseball on TBS, you come in and you know, it's the fall time and TBS will be on and, you know, it'd be like an episode of Friends or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, playoffs were on last night because TBS is on. But, yeah, basketball season, TNT. Next morning, Charmed.
Charmed, baby. Alyssa Milano with short hair.
I'm all for it.
Reminds me that last night I watched some NBA basketball, and that makes me happy, Steven.
The early Charmed was better.
I thought you were going to tell me you were glad that Charmed was on, so there is no chance a replay of Sporting Kansas City would be on.
Ah, you jerk. You son of a gun, you.
That's not a... Why is that a joke?
I'm trying to...
Why would he want to see that?
I would not want to see that. I was trying to take my mind off of that.
So am I to take away from this that Matt Beisler maybe wasn't the problem then, or what?
Yeah, you can take that away.
You know, it's actually...
that's a fair takeaway.
Actually, a little ironic,
I'm asking you, I'm just a casual fan.
I'll handle that question, Nate.
I'm a casual, so then
you can
Matt
take
Beisler
that away.
Wasn't the problem.
Yes.
I don't know.
It does mean, because the central defense was not great.
Well...
Less than par.
One of the interesting things, two of the goals came after... Sporting had free kicks way up the field, right? And they hit on counters, which is never supposed to happen. One of the things that Matt
Beisler...
Once in a long while,
but not never. But
twice in a game.
Yeah, twice in a game, and maybe like twice in a year. Yeah. I mean, like that?
Well, typically Matt is a rare central defender, because most times on those kind of free kicks, the central defenders creeps up the field to try to score.
Because they're usually good with their head.
Yeah.
Usually.
But Matt is also... really, really good at breaking up plays like that. So he usually stays back.
Because, there's
not
a level
great...
of professionalism that goes within that in terms of if you do have to commit a foul, a professional foul, you got to know when and where to do that. You got to know how to break up a play. You know, when to go in on a guy, when to hold back and let him come at you. There's a lot that goes into it, because it's one of the most stressful moments in a soccer match.
You're playing free safety.
Yeah.
You can't get beat.
Absolutely.
And usually,
and for people
that
don't know, there was a lot of beating getting done, because Sporting was down 3-0 in the first half. So
after about 35 minutes, if I remember correctly. And I'm not saying, look, it wasn't Graham Smith's fault, because Graham did a different job. He went up the field and they had somebody else be the guy that stays back. And
which, after watching him head the ball during this tournament, maybe he should have been back, because that guy cannot head the ball. I'm sorry, I'll say that, but he's from what I've seen in these last
settled
three,
down over there. I think.
Well,
so you're almost as angry as Peter Vermes was after the game. He was and this is saying something. That is as angry as I've ever seen Peter Vermes in a post game. I'm not saying
he was mad when they interviewed him towards the end of the game.
Yeah,
was he? I didn't get
like
to hear that.
Not
obviously.
Happy.
Yeah.
Like we can hold that over you, because we did and you didn't. So good.
Yeah.
You know, we've got that. We're not going to tell you what he said.
In your face. We're not going to play for you.
I heard what he said after the game, and it was
like the
70s. Harsh.
Was it like the 77th minute when they talked to him?
Yeah, it's right before. Yeah, it's right before the. It was during
the
hydration break. That was the foul.
The best part was they were just heavily criticizing him. And then they went right to the headset, and then they really didn't ask him anything.
No, 12 minutes. I really got wondering. I'm like, I was taken aback by his comments. Like, dude, you've played this game.
He was going in on Peter Vermes right there. And
but
then he didn't follow it up when they put the headset on. I was disappointed.
It's like, I don't think that's a distinct advantage to use the water break as a timeout. I think sometimes it can be advantage, depending on how the play is going, depending on how your team's doing.
If you're down 3-1, wouldn't you want your players to come over and have a conversation? Wouldn't you want to talk about this? I'm puzzled why Peter Vermes isn't doing this. Why would he not be wanting to talk to... we're going to talk to Peter Vermes. Hey, Peter, how are you?
Yeah.
How are you? How's everything going?
What's your biggest gripe right now at the moment?
He did say, like, is this a hydration break? And Peter Vermes, like,
they're taking everybody took water during the injury timeout, so it's counting as a hydration break. And by the way, you didn't see this either, but they had him mic'd up, obviously. The AR on his side, because he was like, take the hydration break.
We got that, because we got the Nat sounds. They pumped those tweets from ESPN.
That poor dude did not have a chance. That nerd had no chance. Peter Vermes was like, no, this is what you need to do. Everybody's getting drinks. Don't stop the play later. Just take the hydration break now. And it's like that guy's going to be talked into this pretty quick.
Yeah, and he was, too.
Yeah, oh yeah, he got right on his headset, went right to the center official, yeah. And, hey, maybe we should take the hydration break now. Please do, because Peter Vermees is in my A.
Yeah. Well, after the game, Peter was, he ripped the team up and down pretty good and said this is one of the only times in his career that he felt like he coached a team that wasn't ready to play and didn't want it.
Yeah.
And that's as bad
as... He said they were asleep in the first half.
They were.
Yeah. He said, the good news is we've got about a month to figure things out when we get home, and that's going to be to the detriment of the players.
Yeah, no good. That's the worst.
Yikes.
Oh, that's the worst.
Because, yeah, we don't even know if and when this regular season is going to start. Yeah. They haven't officially put out an announcement yet.
Yeah, so he doesn't need to be worrying about recovery days yet.
No. No, that's what Peterson was saying to me after that. He's like, you, if you're a sporting player, you wish the season was going to start real soon so you could start getting ready for games.
You could circle that recovery
now
day.
Now he's just going to punish guys for the next month.
Well, I'm curious. The extreme times and the difference between the two games prior to that, and then throwing a game at 7. I mean,
they played better when they were playing at 8 a.m.
Right.
At midnight than they did when it was a normal kickoff
That's
time.
That's what I mean. It's like I'm not trying to find excuses, certainly not trying to find excuses for that team last night, but that had to play into it. Like, you're getting prepared for this, and then early in the morning, then late at night, and then here's a normal time kickoff. And that looking at how that team came out, they were not ready. And so you kind of wonder if... The preparation for the other two matches threw them off. I don't know. That's probably need to talk to the players about that. But it was bad from get go from the kick.
Sporting lost 3-1 before Jake finds any more excuses for the team last night.
Yep, that's me, excuse guy.
Yeah, that surprises me.
Yeah,
that surprises me that you're making excuses for him.
Yeah,
to be honest with you, I thought you'd be a little.
I thought I would have been that guy.
I wish I had an excuse why Matt Beasley wasn't on the field.
Well, you know, leave it to me to bring that up first on the show because I'm, you know, when you want the real questions asked about Sporting, here I am. And we'll find out. Is he going to be back?
Soccer insider Stephen St. John.
Right, well, I just go by what I'm told here. Putting two and two together, and guess what? Three doesn't add up, buddy.
Quick maths.
I sure as hell hope he's on the field next match.
Well, it's going to be a while.
Right.
The reports are that they're trying to target an August 22nd start to the season.
Oh, boy.
So we got a while.
Well, the soccer siren and Nate's ass will be put on ice now for the next month.
I'll find a reason.
We'll get back to...
You're welcome, Kansas City. Or whatever.
And also, the NBA is back in action.
Yeah.
The Utah Jazz beat the New Orleans Pelicans 106-104 in the first game, and then both games were good. And then the late game, the Lakers, and you heard the ending right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Lakers hold off the Clippers 103-101, and a great defensive sequence by LeBron James on the final possession where he defended both Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And Paul George, well, he hit a couple of threes, and even though it was an off-balance forced shot, I thought that was going in because Paul George was hot down the stretch, but it was not to be as the Lakers beat the Clippers 103-101. So he had a good doubleheader in the NBA, a bad performance in Sporting, but another good performance from Brady Singer leading the Kansas City Royals to a victory after he was able to, again, look good. Look like a kid that belongs. Looks like a kid that ain't going anywhere. And wouldn't it be exciting to see Chris Bubich follow that up with a good performance tonight as well? And so we'll talk about that as Brady Singer was the talk of the game last night. 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, a couple of walks, 3 strikeouts, and then handed it off to the bullpen who got the job done. And the Royals win 5-3. We will be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Very exciting to watch Brady Singer perform well in his second start last night, going 5 innings, and helping the Royals to a 5-3 victory. Royals now 3-4 on the season after splitting the four-game series with the Detroit Tigers. Greg Holland with the victory in relief. And then Trevor Rosenthal with his first save with the Royals. And it looks like Trevor Rosenthal is the closer, and that's a great move. Trevor Rosenthal looks just terrific, and he has looked terrific. And so I'm happy to see that Trevor Rosenthal is getting this opportunity. He's healthy. His stuff is electric, and he picked up his first save last night for the Royals. But let's hear from Brady Singer, who spoke to the media last night after his second start of the year, throws 82 pitches in his five innings, five hits, two runs, two walks, three strikeouts. Here is Brady Singer after the game.
I think he's finished his pizza.
Yeah, we're good.
Brady, how would you compare this one to Saturday's game?
I guess really at the line, it's kind of the same, but a little less crisp, I would guess, from last time. You know, I didn't have the exact slider I had, that first outing, but battled through it. You know, I think that's one thing that I could say was this one was definitely more of a battle than the last one.
Did you feel like you had to go to your changeup a little bit more then without your typical slider?
Yeah, I did, and I threw some good ones. Got a lot more confidence in it now, and I'm actually glad that it happened.
You surprised by the home run by Cabrera or Scoper? What was your reaction to those?
No, I knew Cabrera was just out. You know, on the slider, obviously should have got that down. The other one, you know, wasn't a bad pitch. It was low and away, but you know, he put a barrel on it. And, you know, the ball gets out of here pretty good. But no, I pretty much knew they were both gone.
Thanks, Brady.
Brady, the slider, was it just a matter of, because it seemed like you had some decent ones in there. Was it just a matter of the inconsistency in terms of being able to get it the way you wanted it to?
Yeah, it was inconsistent throughout the night. But, I threw some good ones there towards the end, started figuring out. But, yeah, I left some up that obviously should have been down.
Hey, Brady, we had a chance to hear from Chris Bubich earlier today. He's back here. He's going to throw tomorrow. He said he hadn't talked to you yet. Did you guys get a chance to chat? I know it was your day to pitch, but have you talked to him? And what are your thoughts about him getting that shot tomorrow?
Right, no, that's what I'm doing right now. You know, I was gonna wait till after. You know, I'm sure his phone's blowing up as much as mine was. So now I'm gonna talk to him tonight, see what he needs and all that. But couldn't be happier for him. You know, awesome guy. You know, obviously one of the core guys out of that draft class as well. Super exciting. So really really happy and ready to see him pitch tomorrow.
You guys all, we talked to you guys down in spring training, a bunch of you guys were living in the same place. You were kind of hoping everyone would kind of get up here at some point. It's happening now. What's that feel like for you guys as a group?
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's one thing, we're all working hard to get here. All four of us and, the other guys as well. Everybody's trying to get here as fast as they can. And, we finally start seeing it in the play. So definitely exciting.
We good?
Cool. Thanks, guys.
That was Brady Singer after the game. And now we see Chris Bubich, who has never pitched above A ball, going tonight for the Royals in their home opener for the season against the Chicago White Sox. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Stan Weber in studio. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I think that's part of the reason why we've delayed the start of the season. Campuses will start to fill up starting middle of August, and if there are outbreaks, that it gives an opportunity to settle those down and get under better control. But that's something for the experts. I think that's the advice we received is to give that an opportunity to play itself out, and then start the season fresh September 26th.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, July 31st, 2020. Stephen St. John and AP Katie with Jake Gutierrez, now joined by Stan Weber in studio. Stan, good morning. How are you?
Doing fine. Good to be with you guys.
good to be with you as well. That was Jim Sterk, Mizzou AD, who spoke with the media yesterday. And there's a lot of news now coming out about college football, Stan. And so we'll start there. We've got Chiefs to talk about and some other things to discuss with you. But we now know at least the plan for the SEC. We find this out yesterday that the SEC presidents and chancellors on Thursday approved a 10-game conference-only football schedule for the fall that begins September 26th. That will include the usual conference slate of 8 league games, which includes 6 divisional foes, 1 permanent cross-divisional foe, and 1 rotating cross-divisional foe. They're going to announce the full schedules, the revamped schedules, at a later date. But that is the plan, a 10-game season. And as a college football fan, boy, that trims out all the fat of some non-con games that are sometimes tough to watch or tough to get up for. 10-game conference-only football schedule is planned for the SEC. What's your reaction to that news, Stan Weber?
Well, there's all kinds of reactions, actually, but I'll start with what you said to segue in. You talked about taking the fat out, and it's exact analogy that I had in my mind, that there's more meat when you look at the 10-game schedule than there is in a normal 12-game schedule for the SEC, because Missouri loses Central Arkansas, Central Michigan, and Louisiana off the schedule. They do lose at BYU, which is legitimate, and Louisiana's a good football team, by the way. I'm not blowing them up, but you're replacing it with two SEC teams, and for Missouri, bad news is two SEC West teams, the toughest division in the world. So, you know, it's an NFL-type schedule. If you want to be positive about this, you basically have turned college football into the NFL, where there aren't any easy games. It's all league games. So you have probably as much meat, the good players playing with some pressure on them, the most exciting football to watch, there is probably going to be more plays played with the best players really focused this year than any year, because they're playing 10 hard games with little rest. So if you want to look at it in that way, that's a very positive step, I think. Negatively, let me tell you, you know, I know Tim Grunhardt has a son that plays football. I happen to have a son that plays football, and we would have a different viewpoint of it, not only from football and coaches and so forth, but just kids. It is hard to be one of the players that get a run out there and be 11 on the field at a time. You have 5 years to play your career, and because of injuries, you're not good enough, you're young, you're inexperienced, all those things. You can't, like, develop at some point and then make a team in the NFL for 5 years. You got 5 years, only 4 to play, that's it. And if you don't play some easier teams and let some of the backups get work, then they lose playing time. They lose development. They lose opportunity. So if your kid's a star quarterback at Mizzou, hey, he's going to play in 10 games probably as much as he was going to play in 12. Who cares? And they're going to be really good games. But if you're a guy working your way up and a third-string running back who should get 3 or 4 carries once in a while, 2 carries, 1 carry, get in, but then you play someone you're better than, you get to play 2 quarters. You know, so the development process, this is like baseball's minor leagues, right? The minor leagues are who's getting ripped off right now.
Mm-hmm.
The freshmen, sophomore, juniors who are working their way up are not going to have as good a development under this. That's the negative. The positive is we got a great meat on the bone type of schedule. It's going to be unbelievably competitive. So it's going to be some good football. Now, the positive, they moved the championship game. The SEC championship game could have been played on, I think, December 5th. They moved it back 2 weeks, December 19th. Again, why would they do that? Let's remember why people are doing some of these things. I don't have all the answers, but some of them I understand. Like flattening the curve was why we stayed at home for a while. Remember? Not to always avoid COVID.
Right.
It was to flatten the curve. I think people have forgotten that. Now, the reason why they moved this back 2 weeks is to have flexibility in the schedule. If for some reason you have a Marlins situation like you do in Major League Baseball where they can't play, you go, that's okay. We got 2 extra open weeks. We give ourselves time. So they reduced it to 10 games and spread the schedule, lengthened the back end of the schedule to give them some time to adjust. When you only have conference games, you have more flexibility. So that's why they did this. So that's fine. That's a good move. But why they started on September 27th makes no sense to me at all. Because just what I said about having more room and time, they did just the opposite. Instead of starting on September 5th or so when they should have, they said on the 27th. So now they have, for some reason, they want to wait around. And I think that's exactly the wrong thing to do. Missouri played, was it two or three practices in spring ball, Stephen? Was it? They had two or three.
I have no idea.
Okay. If they would have started 2 weeks earlier, they would have had a ton of spring ball. And then when everyone got wiped out, they would have had that in the bank. I think it's the same thing here. If they shut you down on September 15 because the students come back and COVID takes over and you've got to go to virtual, football ends, I would rather have three games played and not sit there and go, we're waiting till September 27th. And oh, by the way, I do have a kid playing football, just like Tim Grunhart does. And oh, by the way, my kids are at school right now with each other. And what's the greatest risk? I don't think the greatest risk is in the bubble with the NBA or the bubble with the MLS. It's what the Major League Baseball, when they're going back home and they're getting exposed to others.
Yep.
So my kids are in this environment. They are with the football players in this environment. So they're taking the risk. Let them play the games. My opinion is you've already taken the risk. Let's let them play the games. But I think the positive of it, Stephen, is there's going to be a lot of good games. When they start playing, the competition level is going to be high when you got SEC against SEC.
It's funny. I actually had a conversation with my wife last night. We plan a little family road trip vacation, just a little short one, just to get out of town here in later August. And when Sporting lost last night, we know now that we have a few weeks. And I came to her and I said, is there any way we could bump this vacation up like to as soon as possible? Could you get that time off? And that's not the case. But the reason I said that was because I'm like you. I'm like, the longer we have to wait for it, the more things, bad things can happen. Like, I'm just paranoid that somehow we're going to be told we're not allowed to go to Colorado anymore. You know, like, you, who knows? Like, it just seems like only bad things can happen when you have more time. But Jim Sterk said the reason they're doing it, and I'm not saying it's right, I have no idea. But he's saying that exactly what you said, though, the fear is when all the other kids get to campus, it's going to lead to some outbreaks on the team, and they want to give themselves some time to tamp those outbreaks down before they go play games. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I just don't have a lot of confidence that they're going to tamp out 25,000 students' outbreaks. So
it's going to be tough.
I would just say the whole thing is let's give yourself a lot of room to play.
Right.
And I think the Big 12 ought to do what Kansas did. Kansas had a game taken away from them on September 5th against New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. They replaced it with Southern Illinois. They moved it out a week earlier to August.
Right.
K-State just lost a game with Vanderbilt. I hope K-State is calling someone to play, and I hope they play in August. Let's get started. Get just as many games as we can. One, two, three, before they shut it down or make you wait a few weeks or whatever. Stretch it all out and possibly have a chance to have the championship games on December 19th. I think that's a great move to give everybody a little bit more time. ACC's doing it the best, though. They said, we're going to play 10 conference games and give you a little wiggle room to play one non-con. That is better than just 10 conference games. ACC did it the best, and they're starting a week earlier than the SEC. But I think if the Big 12 said 10 plus, or just the Big 12 ought to have some guts. The Big 12 ought to be the alternative. What are the television ratings going to be when Southern Illinois plays Kansas, or anybody, when the SEC's not playing for 3 weeks?
Right.
Why wouldn't you want to jump in and take all the TV ratings for your conference?
See, and they're still trying to figure out how to handle Media Day.
It's only been postponed twice? Three times?
Pat 40,
what's your definition?
Pat 40 tweeted, this was the best tweet yesterday from Pat 40 when all this was going on. He said, to drop the cherry atop the chaos Sunday of college football, the Big 12 has canceled its Media Day scheduled for Monday. The cancellation comes 3.5 hours after the league sent out instructions for how to access the event and 28 hours after announcing it. Unflipping real. So that's
I got those emails, so that, and I opened one up, and I go, this is intense. They were telling us, you know, it's the secret way for the media only to get in and stand on your head and hold your hand out to the left and type these numbers real fast. You know, whatever. It was really secretive, like, you can join the media conference on Monday. I go, okay, wow. Then another one came out and reminded you, and I go, this is intense. Then the third one came, and I go, gosh, am I going to have to give him my firstborn? I mean, what do we need to do to get on? And it goes, canceled.
You know,
I seriously opened it. Like, I thought, a little bit more detail here. And it goes, canceled. And I go, wait, you just sent me an email like a half hour ago talking
like,
about
what I
detail.
Do, what I do, what I get canceled.
Every other conference is like firing off all these, here's our schedule, here's what we're going to do in the Big 12. What the hell do we do about Media Day? Wait a minute, no, cancel it. Will you send me, you know, it's like,
We're just not going to do anything.
Right. Or someone sent the email they shouldn't have. I don't know. But there's no media day, I guess. We will take a break. We have Stan Weber back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on this Friday, July 31st, 2020. We've got Stan Weber in studio. We've talked baseball. We just hit a little college football there.
Hey, Steven.
Let's sprinkle in. Yes.
I haven't been canceled, have I? Did Big 12 send out something that I was canceled here? I need to leave the studio.
I haven't checked my email in the last 5 minutes, so maybe. I'm not quite sure.
They just tweeted out that, hey, Stan Weber's on, and then I'm just afraid that, you know, it turns around and goes, no, he's not.
Hey, you know what, though? We can tease the Big 12, and they make themselves a pretty easy target for it. But I just keep going back to everybody's trying to make decisions on things that there's no manual for and nothing's ever been written about, and it's hard. You know, it's a difficult situation, and some of what they do is dependent on what the SEC decides,
I'm actually not blasting the Big 12. I'm laughing at just stuff that happened, and whoever produced it is fine. Now, Steven can make fun of the Big 12, but I really wasn't. I'm just talking about real life, how you think something's good for like 4 hours, but you might come back and an hour later go, oh, it's all changed.
I tweeted out of you, Stan. What do you say about that picture, Nate, showing to promote your appearance on the show?
I don't know about
this. You've been on a good roll here lately, Stephen, of tweeting out good pictures of our guests when they come out on the show. And of course, my internet's slowing down here, so I'm
to Stan's nice job, point. Mate. It's like you take a nap, and like if your nap's like 2.5-3 hours long, it's like, oh gosh. Right. Like, I look at my phone, and it's like I got 100 text messages and 50 emails. I'm like, oh, great, what happened?
And one guy who called.
Stan,
One guy calls, and everybody else tweets and texts. Oh, wow.
Good picture there.
Beautiful picture.
Is that a mascot? Are they allowed? Are we allowed to be that close together and enjoying ourselves?
Not if you're Stan.
Yeah.
Not if you're Jake. Jake does not like mascots.
So. Yeah, he
told me about Stan. you may think that, you know, Jake, I bother him with a phone call once in a while, but we actually do talk once in a while on the phone. So I know it's really a sacrifice for him to do that, and I appreciate it. He'd rather just like text me, but I try not to call during his nap time. There's a lot going on. So anyway.
That's it. 2 a.m. is his nap time. He sleeps for half an hour.
I do have
45 minutes sleep.
You talked about baseball and football, right? That we've gone over that. Can I mix those two real quick, Stephen? Is that okay?
Sure. I was going to play something from Damian Williams, but if you want to hit something.
Do you mind?
Stan, go ahead. Go ahead.
Because one of the neatest things that baseball did, I thought, was to start thinking out of the box and do some adjustments because this is a different season. Okay. One of the big ones that they did, what's one off your mind, Nate? What's one thing that was pretty cool that they did baseball this year?
The overtime rule or the extra innings rule?
Okay, that's
put a guy at second base.
That one's fine. It's like college football overtime. Anything else? Expanded playoffs? I thought that's what you'd say.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
The DH in the National League.
DH National League. But expanded playoffs. Yeah. Okay.
Love it.
Yeah.
Stay with those words. Expanded playoff.
Let's do it.
Here's college football's chance, guys.
Yeah.
This is it.
Let's do it.
Why don't they say there is no way you can compare an SEC versus SEC schedule to a Big
Ten
versus a Big Ten. Every champ this year has to be in. Every champ it's always should have been. But how can you not have it this year? The Pac-12 plays 8 games, 10 games, whatever they end up with. All we know is we know there's a team in the Pac-12 that's won their league. That's all we know.
Right.
How can you possibly say, I was watching tape, and there's no way they're as good as the second team in the SEC.
But we've always said that, which is silly.
But because you use like those few non-conference games, and you got a 12-game schedule, and statistically you might lose a game. Even Alabama usually loses. Guys, here's my big statement of the day. To be positive, this is the year you've got to expand the playoffs.
Love it.
Just say you're not going to do it forever. Bill Hancock, you live here. I love you. You do a great job. ESPN, please call. Say, we'll pay extra money.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we want more football? A minimum of 6 teams in the playoffs, which it always should be. But why don't we just dabble and say, no, we're not doing it forever. We're just doing it in this unusual year where an SEC team's never going to play anybody but an SEC team. Why shouldn't we have a 6-team or 8-team playoff? This is the experience. This is what baseball did for us, said this is not forever. But how about some more games at the end? How about some more games at the end for college football? This could end up being a super fun season when we're sitting here in January or February and finished and go, how did that end up being a great season?
Lord knows they want the money. I mean, the colleges all need the money. They're losing money big time because college football gets some money back. Let's go.
Because you may not have an NCAA tournament next year. You didn't this year.
Right.
So, I don't know, Stephen. Last night, I finally, when the SEC said, we're playing SEC only, I go, finally, there's something creative that should be thought about and could be done. Why can't we have a one-year exception and have more teams in a college football playoff?
Then we could hear everyone bitch and complain about it like they did about baseball for a full week.
I hope this isn't going to be the way it goes every year going forward.
But just think.
Best quote that Nate said? Who said?
People are going to like it too much.
I'm afraid people will like this too much.
Right.
And then they'll want to do it every year.
Afraid someone will like something too much in sports.
But you know
why
what?
Would we want that?
Stan, you and I have been on that for a long time. It's never been right to not have all the conference champions in because everybody plays too different of a schedule. There's not enough of a non-con sample size to really know who the best teams are.
Right.
And we all want to see the football, and that's one of the beauties of college football is that every conference is different. They kind of have their own different styles of play and identities. Get every conference champ in. You decide your conference champ how you want. Let's play. This is a perfect. If they can pull it off, I'm off. I love it.
The big emphasis right now with each of these conferences is we are internally looking. We want to figure out who our champion is. That's the most important thing. Those other non-con games, we wish we could have them. But you know what? We really need to play ourselves and find out who our champion is. If there's so much value in that, and there is, that makes college football great, have everyone have access to the playoffs. You have to have at least 5 playoff teams. So in my opinion, this week, we opened up that opportunity. We focused on it. The ACC won so far with the 11-game schedule, and they sucked Notre Dame in. They suck Notre Dame in, and they may be able to keep Notre Dame forever as an ACC opponent because of this year. Let's expand the playoffs, 6 or more, and maybe ESPN and a college football playoff, and the commissioners can all agree, oh, maybe we can do it in 2021 too, and 2022, and we might have got over the hump to finally get a playoff. But at least like baseball, let's do it right now. Do something positive for football fans and college football players. Don't cut their games. Say, at least let's have the best playoff ever.
We will be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.